Okay, so last week we talked about minhag. A few clarifying points, and then we'll move on to Lotus Kodazu, which is really the corollary. So, I see Matt is already reading my article. Okay, I was debating whether I should give it out afterwards. Okay, so last week we talked about minhag, and we pointed out that, to summarize, we talk about minhag on different levels. There's minhag amakom, which is the one which is halachically binding. There's minhag avosenu, which there's no good evidence for talking about it in the same sense we talk about minhag. Some people think it really is. It's not 100% clear. We noted that there's different types of minhag. There's minhag in terms of extra halachic practices, whose basis is minhag. And then there's minhag as a function of klalei hara, a minhag to pask in a certain way. And just like in minhag amakom, you have to ask, in minhag amakom, it's binding to follow the minhagei amakom that are simply extra halachic practices. You can be bound to a certain halachic tradition. We saw Rabbi Avadia thinks you can translate minhag avos in that sense. We dealt with some of the problems when you're talking about communities that are mishulav of different traditions. And then we talked about, minhag Yisrael, which is similar except much more powerful, right? If all of Klal Yisrael is accustomed to Pasuk in a certain way, then that really does push us in that direction. Even if other things were plausible, even most plausible, that can be a very strong factor in how we Pasuk. We talked a little bit about the philosophical background. We pointed out that minhagim that are sub-izgeder can be a kiyum in lotasur, according to the Rambam. Otherwise, there are these notions that minhag is binding insofar as God guided our hands, or history was koveya, and things like that. What we're talking about this week is sort of the corollary to that, which is lotus go to do, which is just like there's a positive commandment to, or positive value in following minhag and following certain halachic traditions that are unifying halachic traditions, there's also an iser of lotus go to do, of don't
cut yourself.
Don't cut yourself, exactly. The pasuk says lotus go to do, right, which originally talked about lotus go al meis, is a practice of mourning, and chazal darshan, and we won't get into all the lamdus of is it the Icarus, or is it a secondary Icarus, or is it an asmachla, whatever exactly it is, but chazal darshan er lotus go to lotasu agudot agudot. Don't splinter into different groups. So obviously that's the flip side. Just like there's a positive value to having a consistent minhag, there is also an iser to have multiple minhagim. Now, you can see already, I attached for you an article, which I don't know if we'll get to. Maybe we will. I don't know. If not, it's in English. I wrote it a few years ago. In my youth, whatever. This is my first or second article that I wrote when I in Kol Mavasar when I was in college. If you take 3 seconds to look at it, you'll see that there's a reason this was the one that got the most feedback of any of my articles that I wrote in college. Positive feedback, mostly. I know at least one conference where this was the base text of the conference. I was very touched when that happened. Not quite as touched. One of my friends wrote an article when I was editor, and that article was taken to be the base text in Stanford Law School for a class. So we were all very impressed. That didn't happen to mine. Okay, but let's go into the sugya here. So basically, it's one main gemara. Very similar parts of this. Parts of this gemara appear in the first half of Megillah, but the main sugya is here in Yevamos, Daf Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet. So the gemara says like this: Nisyavi Weisil Post Lenchule. So the gemara here is talking about the Mechloges Beisil and Beishamai and Yibam. Without getting to the details, the gemara says Hasu Lamali. So why do I need to say this? Aidi Ditana Chaltu Tani Nami Nisyavmo. Once you say you have to do Chalitza, they also said Yibam. Fine. Now, Tanan Hasam. Megillah Nikres Ba'acharas or Vishnemas or Vishlosas or Rabbas or Chamishas or Lopachos Velo Yoser. The Megillah can be read anywhere from the 11th to the 15th of Adar. So Amar Levi Shlokish of Yochanan, Ikri Khan, Lotus Go to Do. But there's a problem. It says Lotus Go to Do, Lotasu Agudot Agudot. Don't make multiple groups. So Gemara says, well, That can't be what the pasuk means. You need the pasuk to teach you what it originally talks about, which means don't cut yourself when someone dies. So that's the case. It should say tigo to do. What does the extra tough teach you? So it teaches you that it's coming to prohibit you from making different groups within Kal Yisrael. So kule the ema kule lahachi hudiyasa. So why don't you say that that's the only thing the pasuk is talking about? Imkain lemakra lo tagudu my lotis go to do shema minatarti. So then it should have said lo tagudu. It says lotis go to do. So we learn both. So amarle ad kan lo shanis. Till now, what have you taught? That makom shenagu lasus melacha barei psachim ad chatzos otzin. Makom shenagu shalolasus ein otzin. Then in a place where the minhag is to do work on Erev Pesach, you can do it. If not, not. Amar le amina lecha ana isura. The Amar Rav Shimon bar Avraham Yochanan lekayem es yimei hapurim bezmanayem bezmanim harbe tiknu lahem chachamim mevaad amar liminhaga. Said, what are you asking me? That there's a problem, that it seems to be that the Mishnah explicitly endorses splitting into groups. You're quoting me a question of minhag. There's different minhagim. Do you work on Erev Pesach? Do you not? I'm asking you a question on Isurin. And presumably, at least this point in the Gemara, you have now a machlokes whether lo tiskodu applies, and you'll see this will carry over to halacha, only to Isurin, meaning only to different minhagim psak. Meaning minhag sug 2, or even to minhag sug 1, meaning extra halachic principles. So the Gemara says, wait a second. V'hasam labi suravyei is that case, meaning the question of working or not working in Erev Pesach, is that not an issur at all? V'atznan beishamai osrin abeishil matiren. So amar lei, hasam harom ramalachu delislei. It's true that might be, according to some, she's just actually a question of issur. But it's not going to be lotus go to do for someone not to work if the minhag is to work, because someone looking at him will just say, look, he doesn't have anything to do, and that's why he's not working, and it won't be in your face that he's breaking with the minhag. Aiva beishamai matiren atzars lachem uveizhil osren. But wait a second, so now we're coming back to the case in Yevamos, but beishamai was matir, this case in Yevamos. Again, I won't torture you with the details. And beishil was oser. So that's different halachic practices. So isn't that a problem? Lo says, go to do. So Gemara says, no. Misa vart asu beishamai kedivrehem. Lo asu beishamai kedivrehem. You think beishamai actually acted on their psak? They didn't. Rabbi Yochanan amar no. Rabbi Yochanan said asu. They actually did act. Ubeplukte Rabbi Shmuel. And this is machloket Rabbi Shmuel. The Rabbi amar lo asu beishamai kedivrehem. Shmuel amar asu vasu. So emas. Now, when did Beishamai rely on his own position? If it was before the Baskal came out and said that we always paskin like Beishim Hillel, my time at the Mandem are lo'asu, then why would you say he didn't act that way? If it's after the Baskal, my time at the Mandem are asu, how could you say they did paskin that way? It could be either way. If you say it's before the Baskal, still, the reason you would say that they didn't actually act on their psak is because Basila was the rove. Lamandimer lo asu, da Basila ruba. Lamandimer asu, and if you said they actually acted on it, kias lina basa ruba, you would respond that when do we go by rove? Hey chadichi adading ninu, when they are equally sharp. But hacha beishamai mechadidi tve. But here beishamai is just smarter. So even if they're the miut, maybe they relied on their own shita. V'ibay samel achar baskol. Maybe you say that it was after the baskol. Man there were lo asu da hanafka baskol. Man there were asu Rabbi Shua damar ein mashkicham a baskol. Now back to our question. Uman them are asu. But if in fact beishamai acted on their psak against Beis Hillel, karin and kan lo tis go to do lo tasu agudus agudos. There's the problem that they broke into different groups. So Amar Abaye, ki amrin and lotis go to do. When do we say this in Israel? Lotis go to do kigon shtei batei dinim biir achas. When there's two different courts in one city, v'halolam morim kidevrei beishamai v'halolam morim kidevrei beishilal. where each one paskins like a different shita, aval shtei batidim v'shtei ayaras lislon ba. But if they're in two different cities, it's fine. Amar le Rava, I v'habes shamay v'ishel kit shtei batidim v'achas dami. But b'shamay v'ishelel are like two courts in one city, right? They had influence in all of Klal Yisrael, so people actually paskin them in each area, or something like that. El Marava, ki amrin letzgodu kagon bezin bi'ir achas, letzgodu is a bezin in one city, plag morin kedivrei b'shamay, uplag morin kedivrei b'zilo, where they split on psak, al shei batidim bi'ir achas lislan ba, but two batidim, it's fine. Tashma, and I'll prove it to you. B'mkom Moshe Belazar, I yukar dem etim lasu b'cham b'shabes lasu b'arzel. B'mkom Moshe Yosi, I yochlam b'aser of b'chalim. B'mkom Moshe Belazar, in b'mkom Moshe Rebbe Kiva, lo, that in the place of Belazar, they relied on his kula that you were allowed to prepare certain machshirei mitzvah on Shabbos. Yosi Aglili, they didn't think it was usher to eat chicken with milk, but they only were knowing that in their city, but nowhere else. Titania Klaum Rikiva Komlach Shabbos and Dochenes Shabbos. Vahai might yuftas. The Gemara says Mikomas become a shiny. Different places are different. Karila, my Karila. That's obvious. What's the even the question? I might have thought that since we're in the case of Elazar, we're talking about a Hilchos Shabbos question, which is Chamur. The whole world is considered one place. Kamashvalan, it's not. Okay, that's the Gemara. A little bit of a long Gemara. That was about an amud and plus, almost a bot actually. Okay, well maybe not. Whatever, it's long. So we have a few limitations, right? First, we have a machlokas in the Gemara whether lotus go to do the iser to splinter into different groups applies to only to isurim, meaning only different minhagei psak, or even to minhag. Then the Gemara qualifies it and says maybe it only applies in the same city, but in two different cities is not a problem, right? And then the Gemara says, right? And then the Gemara spends a little bit of time talking about that. Those are the two main limitations that we have, right? The type of Isser we're talking about, and the second is where exactly we're talking about, right? How united do these people have to be? Do they have to be in one city for it to be Lotus Gode, or even in two cities? Under certain circumstances, is it considered one city, even if it's actually two cities, like Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai? The Havamina, that Mishum Chumra de Shabbos, the whole world is considered Kamakom Echad. So those are the two axes that the Gemara deals with. Okay. So before we flesh out the details, why is it Usser, or what does it mean it's Usser, Lotus Godu? What does it mean? Why would it be true that you're not allowed to split into different groups? Or what's the problem?
One Torah becoming two, something like that.
What?
One Torah becoming two Torahs, something like that.
Okay. Who says that? Okay, so one is if you look at Rashi, right here. Lo Tasa Agudas Agudas. Dinir is a Kenog and Shtei Taros. Because it looks like there are two Toros. Kikshkur and Kfarim is a Megil B'yam Knisa. Vayaros Gedolos B'yodal and Mukav and Choma B'tesvav. And things look like different. There's two Torahs because people are reading on this day, and people are reading on this day, and people are reading on this day. That's one problem. What's the other problem? Sort of obvious one.
People don't know what to do.
Well, I mean, you can just tell them, right? Just people do different things.
Machlokes,
right? That would be the next. What?
If someone is in a place where they do X, and thus is bound to do X, then if they go to Y, they'll be confused and do something wrong.
Well, that is also true, yes. Then that's part of what we did last week, which is the Davar Matmiya Bozer Rabim. It's related to this question. But the second obvious sort of derech is Machlokas, that's Shit Sarambam. V'chal azhar azeh, shlo yu shnei bat yidinim ber achas, zeh noa kiminak zeh, zeh noa kiminak acher, shidavar zeh gorem la Machlokas, gedolo, shnei melo tizgodu lo tasra agudu zegudos. Right? You can't have multiple people pasking different ways because this causes a big fight. Right, so those are the basic two drachim. Now, Lamdanim love this sugya. It's very, very neat. Right? The Netziv later on makes the claim. We'll look at it a little bit more inside the Meishav Davar that perhaps this is already the machlokas in the Gemara. Right? If you think about the machlokas, take for example the machlokas in the Gemara. Does Lotus Godudu apply to Minhag, even to Minhag, or only to Isurim? So he says very simply, well, if it's about Machlokes, so people fight about everything, right? Now, people have challenged this and said, no, people don't fight about Minhagim. Yeah, okay, whatever. Right? There's this astounding tshuva by the Beis Yosef, and I think it's in the Atkas Rochel, about Yom Tov Sheni, where he's like, yeah, so, like, they'll keep 2 days Yom Tov, and, like, they'll love in different things, but, like, why would anyone fight who fights about Minhagim? I was like, okay, whatever. But if you think it's Shtei Toros, so Minhag is not Torah in the same sense, right? Meaning people do different things, but they're not fundamental to the halachic system, so it's not near Shtei Toros. The Nativity offers this. That's the Machlokas here in the Gemara. Is that if you think that Lotus Godu is about Nasek Shtei Toros, so then it only applies to Yisurim. If it's about Machlokas, it could even apply to Minhag.
Wait, I thought the Gemara made that qualification. Did it not?
It did, but it's Machlokas Rav and Abaye. I mean, he suggests that is the Machlokas in the Gemara, right, between Rav and Abaye. Now, obviously, you can say, you don't have to say that, right? Machlokas could go either way. You could say whatever you want, right? Machlokas, you could say that people will fight about Minhag. You can say they don't fight about Minhag. You can argue within that. It's not such a problem. Okay. Now, if you look, for example, the Ritva picks up on this notion, and he says, "V'hasam lavi suro akatani alayla beishamai osrim hil matir and perish v'ikadavik beishamai v'ikadavik beishil v'avolush agudos v'yesh rashi zal tmiyam milsa ma'ikan rabbi yochanan leishlakish mikomakom aparchum minhaga shapra adelay leishlakish v'din tama alav aminolach ani suro v'amar li minhaga." The nearly, right? So he quotes the whole minhag line, right? The back and forth. The nearly, Rabbi Yochanan, ki amar li adkan lo shaniz makom shenagu reisha the masnisin nakat vein kamenazur elam mishum seva di sura. So he thinks there's no machlokas at all in the Gemara. He thinks that it was just a miscommunication. Everyone was talking about Isser. It's just that he didn't realize... Sorry, it's not Rav and Reish Lakish. It's Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Right, he didn't realize... Reish Lakish didn't realize that he was talking about Isser, but they were both talking about Isser to begin with. Reish Lakish, Reish Gufa, Havi Parach Lailach, Yamar Reish Yochanan, Lotan Yasam, Nami Surah Shavel, Seife, Damasnees, and Aminahu, Daminalach. And the Ritva is not willing to accept the possibility that anyone ever thought that applies to Minhag, right? If you think that the whole Sugya is about Nasu Kishtei Taros, or you're convinced that you can't possibly fight about Minhag, then it makes sense, right? All there was a miscommunication, but there really is only one Shita in the Gemara. And you continue the Ritva on the next page, says, Amalei Reish Lakish, Misavart, Asur Beishamak, Devreim, Lasur Beishamak, Devreim, Perish, Lo... Sorry, we'll hold off on that for one moment. Okay. Fine. So what we have so far is we have, Lotus go to do, we have two different positions of what drives the Isser. Is it because it's going to cause Machlokas, or it's going to make it that Nashesh Torah Kishtei Toros. The Nitziv suggests that itself is the Machlokas in the Gemara, assuming you think there is a Machlokas in the Gemara about whether it applies even to Minhag or only to Isurin. The Ritva can't even fathom that anyone ever thought that it applied to Minhag, and therefore he just basically erases that from the Gemara, or at least for all intents and purposes he does. And that presumably is because he was driven by this notion that it's something more fundamental than pure Machlokas, and therefore, Minhag is Michutz from the discussion. Okay. Now, people sometimes try to conflate these two, right? Lo Yasa Torah Kishtei Toros and Machlokas, because, like, that's basically the same thing, right? I mean, people are keeping two different things, and that causes Machlokas, and they don't see a fundamental difference between it. But I'm assuming here they are fundamentally different. Not just fundamentally different, but this is something we'll get back to. At some level, they are philosophical opposites. I'll explain what I mean. All right, let's say... I'll give an example. Okay. Let's take something which is clearly minhag, right? It's clearly not halachic, right? No one thinks it's the rules. When you go to sleep, right? So look. If your roommates, it's going to cause a big fight. If one person wants to go to sleep at 11 and turns off the light at 11, the other one stays up till 3, right, it's going to cause a machlokas. But naniach, we're in different rooms, right? Nobody could care less, right? Meaning, no one thinks that you should be going to sleep when I go to sleep. If it happens to be that we are in the same room, it could cause problems. But let's say we took something which is a rule, right? So then... Right? If you do it one way and I do it the other way, we will start fighting. right? Because I think what you're doing is wrong. I don't think it's just wrong for here, that I don't want it happening here, but I think that it's fundamentally problematic. Or in other words, right, if we're fighting over something, why are we fighting over it? Because we think there should be uniformity, right? Meaning, if we both think the rule is X, right? If we think that there is a uniform rule for yeshiva, right? I don't know. Let's come up with something. You're not allowed to take the silverware out of the chadar ochel, right? But whatever. But we have a machlokesh. Does that mean you're not allowed to take it out of the chadar ochel at all? Or I don't know. You can't take it past the moedon. I don't know. Whatever it might be, right? So if I see Matthew in the hallway, right, obviously, taking the silverware, and he's, you know, a few steps from the Moadon, because he thinks that for some reason the Moadon is the Cheftz of the Chadar Ochel, because, I don't know, B'Shas HaTzchak, when we have a Ruach, we use it as the third Chadar Ochel. Right? Exactly. So then, we'll end up fighting about it, because we know that there is a rule, and we argue what that rule is. Right? But now let's say there were two separate rules. And the rule was that people as chashev as Matthew are allowed to take it to the Moadon. And people who are not chashev as Matthew have to stay in the Chadar Ochel proper. So then if I see Matthew taking the Chadar Ochel, I'm not going to fight with him. Why? Because there are shtei toros. There are two rules. And I know that he's following one set of rules and I'm following the other, so I'm not going to fight. So if you come back to it, right, at some level, machlokes and nasik shtei toros are actually the opposite. Because machlokes is driven by the assumption, or the desire, that the same thing should be happening because we're supposed to be doing the same thing. If you do one and I do the other, we could argue because we think that the one thing that's supposed to be done is not this, but we agree there is one Torah out there. On the other hand, right, if you admit that there are two rules, you'll stop fighting, but you'll admit that there really are multiple rules or multiple systems at work. So you bring it back to Torah, this is really problematic. Right, if you think it's a problem of machlokes, so it just means that we can't be fighting. If you think it's lo yasher Turkish de toros, at some level you really want people to be fighting. I mean, if you think about the original context, which is Misha Rabu Atamidim Beisel Veshamai Nasa Turkish de toros, why was that? Because they didn't fight anymore. At some point, they viewed themselves as part of the same Bezdin. And therefore, they were arguing what the halacha should be. At some point, they got so big that each of them went their own merry way, and now it looked like Torah has two toros. Or, de facto, what's happened was on Azeh. At some level, we look at Ashkenaz and Svard, and we say, oh, they have their legitimate Masorah, we have our legitimate Masorah. What does that tell you? There are two toros, right? That's the fundamental problem of Lotus Godedu. Yeah.
I was going to say, I see that, but you can still argue that you could say my menhag is the best menhag, and even though you're not...
Of course you could, right? But
you could think that really strongly.
That's true, but that wouldn't be shtei toros. I mean, minhag is not Torah.
But you'll still fight for it.
Right? Oh yeah, you can fight for it. People will fight over minhag, especially b'yirachas. Right? I mean, it doesn't matter how petty it is. Right? No one thinks that there's a fundamental reason why your light has to be on or off in your room. That doesn't change the fact that if your roommates are going to fight over it. And hopefully you're not going to fight over it, but you will fight over it. Right, I was an RA, I know this. Right, even if it wasn't my own room, it's, you know. Okay. Fine. Now, look, there's the machlok we've shown him here, whether when we say tasagudos, whether that can push us to be even to be makil or only to be machmir. And let's say I'm in a place where everyone's makil. So, but I think it, right, I think it should be machmir. Right, I think Mekar Din should be Machmir. So, the Ritva says that you have to be Machmir. Perish lo asu d'rem lo hakel. El shazil chalitz d'bogaz d'kein lo afshar kem sham d'shva. So, vim tomar. Vim beisil asu d'rem lo fochaz lo chalitz d'ayin shagud. So, go to Jerusalem, the hachas fear lan, shafil beisil lo asu d'rem lo hakel, el shazil chalitz. So, his first answer is that, in fact, Lotus Gozu cannot drive you to be Mekil. It can drive you to be Machmir, but not Mekil. Because at the end of the day, there are things which are more important than Machlokas. Tosvos, on the other hand, or Nasuk Shtei Toros, right, is more important. It could be that it'll look like Shtei Toros, but if you think you're right, so you're right. There's nothing to say about that. What? The Ritva. Right, Tosvos, on the other hand, says no. Tosvos, you mean, Losim Beishamak, the Rain, Vahu Osim, Behold Avar, Kibesil, Vahu Lukula. Tosu says, no, Lotasa Agudas Agudas tells you, even Lakula, that if you start being machmer against everyone, I don't care if you think you're right. In the end of the day, the overarching value of Lotis Gozdu forces you, under the right circumstances, even to go along with Lakula. Okay. So now, this notion of whether it applies to Minag or only to Isser continues into the postgame. Right? The Rama and Magen Avraham dispute this. If you look in the next sources, the Rama says, like the Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Nong L'Stakar Baruch Chodesh Iyar V'Tos V'Yadam. Some people have the Minag, we're talking about here about Sfiras Omer, have the minhag to cut their hair on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and it's a mistake. Haga. Miu b'harvim b'kamas nagam l'stabar ad Rosh Chodesh Iyar, v'osim lo yisabar v'lag v'omer v'elach, v'av v'isham mutzah l'stabar v'lag v'omer v'atzmo, v'osim b'kamas nagam l'stabar v'lag v'omer v'elach, lo yisabar v'klal achar pesach ad lamagam v'omer. There's two minhagim, right, of the nehugi avelos of Sfira, either until lag v'omer from Rosh Chodesh till the end. V'lo yinagu b'yarachas mitzvah minhag zem, mitzvah minhag zem, yishum lo tisko to do, v'kol shekain she'ein linog heter b'shtehen. But you cannot have two different minhagim in the same place. And obviously you can't be mekel on both and only keep the nehugim from Rosh Chodesh to Lag Ba'omer. So, what does the Rama thinks which way? He extends lo tisko to do to what? Minhagim. If you look at the Magen Avraham, next source, Mixas perish or mixas bnei adam lo yinagu can mixas can David lotus go do v'yanki din zelon is barakol kach voskim atzikol fenecha sugi v'vamos, and then he quotes the sugi for v'vamos, which I excise for you. Razim kalsu v'zeloshon v'adaber talib minagum komish makom zenagu kach makom zenagu kach afilu niskabsu v'nei shem makom zemakom echad rasa kol minagum makom listen ba'akan loshono near lead is fearle afilu heim bezden echad ke teretz arishon because of a rush. He argues, and he says, no, if it's Tali b'minag, then la lacha, we do not apply the rule of those who go to do. Nearly dafka b'minag adome l'megillah, l'megillah, krachem gam gets v'relei shakram v'chuyav l'kros kodem. And even if you think it does apply to minhagim, it only applies to minhagim where are somewhat halachic. Meaning, I think that you're supposed to be doing it this way. If even when we're talking about minhagim, we're talking about a minhag that has something to do with Isser. If we just have a minhag of, like, I fast every few weeks just because I do, and you don't, right? That type of minhag, bichlal, no one thinks, Lotus Gozdu applies to. Fine, then he continues a little bit. Fine. But la halacha, it is a machlokas, Raman, Magen Avraham, whether Lotus Gozdu applies to even minhagim, like the Rama, or like the Magen Avraham, it does not apply to minhagim. Okay. I'm debating whether we should read the Meshiv Davar at all, or... Okay, I just want to read one part in the Meshiv Davar. Most of what the Meshiv Davar, I told you, is an analysis of the Sugya, where he assumes that the Machlokas in the Gemara about minhag is Lo Yasa Torah Kishtei Teros, or... Machlokes, he lays out the Shitas and Rishonim, and he paskins against the Rambam. But if you just look here, like two paragraphs from the end of the Meshiv Davar, so he says, "Lachore in muvan my shayach chomer the Shabbos lakan karl the ikra as far whom yishum the shteros any yadua shinoy aminag shum chomer Shabbos yadio pakiatuva v'ahava amina daaf b'shem because it's asur the mafursa madavar v'shayach achshash to loza say v'zeh gufa kushas rava v'sham v'shel nami mafursam kol kach etc." He just explains, right, what was the havamina of the Gemara that Chumrah de Shabbos would make it different, that even in two cities, Lotus Gozdu would apply. So very simply, the notion of two cities being different is because they're different, so, right, when you look at it as a unit, either they won't fight, because no one knows what you're doing in the next town over, or it doesn't look like Shtei Toros, because no one's thinking about it at the same time. But once you're talking about something which is Chomer de Shabbos, there's a Havamina to say, look, I look at all of Kal Yisrael at once, right? On big issues, I really do care what everybody's doing. Kumashlan, even on big issues, people either don't look at what their neighboring town is doing, or we don't care, it doesn't look fundamentally different. Yeah?
The issue for Raji isn't that there will be two different Torahs, that people will think they're two different Torahs.
I mean, there'll be a perception of two different Torahs. Or
right. It doesn't really. If we could have it in two separate places, it's okay if Klai Yisrael completely split. It's just that
I mean, I don't know if it's a good thing. Meaning,
okay, but it, meaning there's no issue because it would be only upon the same city, right? But you could put them in two different cities, or you could put them in two different countries.
I mean, if you would put them in two different cities, then yeah, I mean, in a certain sense. Now, why that's true, presumably simply because there's, and this comes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the year, right, how much halacha recognizes as sort of a built-in possible pluralism, right, in terms of legal pluralism. How much it doesn't, that obviously, right, that's part of this question here. But yeah, I mean, at some level, at least in different cities, we paskin that way. Now, this is not really true. It's not really, really true, because the sugya that we're not going to talk about at all, which is sort of the corrective to that, is Zaken Mamre. Right, that when there is a collective body, there is, ideally, there should be an objective body who makes decisions for all of Klal Yisrael. Right, we're already talking in a, right, and if that's the case, once an Edron Gadol Yoshua Shalim paskins, it doesn't matter where you live. Right, you have to paskin that way because there has to be one Torah. Right? Well, actually, there, the Lashon Hashel Yeru Machlokas B'Yisrael. Right, there has to be uniformity. When you're not talking Sanhedrin, Agadah, Yoshua, Shalim, then you're talking multiple Badim, then yes, like there's a sort of recognition that the Torah, as it's defined in this place, is going to be adjudicated by Beis Din X. Right? But yeah, at a certain level, for whatever reason, we don't care when it's different cities. Yeah. Okay. Fine. I'm debating how much we get into all the nitty-gritties here. Okay, we'll get into a few issues here. Let's skip the chinuch for a moment, and we'll come back to it. And like I gave you the Rama, the Meshiv Davar, because it's really quite an interesting tshuva. But if we read through it, we'll never finish. And this is really I cut out a lot of it. It's it's a good 8-page tshuva. So I just look at some modern applications. A lot of it has to do with the Ashkenaz Sfarad thing. So you look Yechaved Das. And Rav Moshe both deal with this. And he's like this. Once we say that there's no prohibition of two Batei Dinim Be'ar Achas, right? And that again is Machlokas in it's Machlokas Aposkim Maskana, whether we Paskin that we're mekil even b'shtei batidin b'ir achas, or only b'shtei batidin b'shtei ayaros. What? What did you say, Joseph?
Say that
only. Oh, sorry. We're in Yechaved Das on the third page. I'm just going to skip over the Meshiv Davar. I spoke it out outside, basically. Okay. So, like we said, in the Gemara, there's the machlokes, right? Is lotus gozu mitigated only, even by two batidim in one city, or only by two batidim in two cities? So he says, look, the Rif and the Rambam paskin that even if there's two batei dinim be'ir achas, so it's mutter. There's no problem with lotus go to do. And this, again, Meir, this comes back to part of your issue, right? If you hold this, like at some level there's a recognition that there are different practices, right? Even be'ir achas. It's just that you can't have one authority splintering, right? You take a tfisat olam and you run with it. But within that, you know, world, you can't start splintering things. So he says, if we paskin that way, so even minhagi Ashkenaz, minhagi Sfarad, basically like that, because everybody knows that there's two different minhagi psak out there. There's the minhag of the Sfaradim, minhag of the Ashkenazim, and we already saw last week how much Ravadi believes that this is binding. So he said, look, even in the same city, Ashkenazim can act like the Ashkenazim, and the Sfaradim can go like the Sfaradim. Vafilu dasa Rambam vasmag, and even the Rambam the Smag, who paskin not this way, and paskin that shtei batei dinim be'ir achas is lo tisko to do, and you actually need, in order to prevent the problem, let's just go to be in two different cities. Nirish mechemen shet over mufursam bechol tzutzes Yisrael she svardim nohagim kidas moran ashulchan aruch uvnei Ashkenaz yotzim biad rama bechol eida kedoshah yodad she gam minhagei eida acheres miusadim alad nepas. Since all of Klal Yisrael knows that the Ashkenazim follow the Rama and the Svardim follow Maran Abit Yosef, and everybody knows that this is right, everyone has what to base themselves on. So Ubeis in echad sheishem lahashvos daitam yachad avodavers nechel ba'akadmonim go echad noeg kidas rabozav ein bazem yishum latizkodev chal echad zarech lakayim minag avosav afilu ubeis hakneses echad. So first he argues as follows, and he says, look, mikra din, he thinks that we paskin that there's no problem of shtei bat hadinim b'yirachas, and minag ashkenaz minag svart count is still is two bat hadinim. And even if you were to paskin that it's a problem when it's bi'ir achas, he thinks that this is different. Now, I'm just going to speculate that Rabbi Vadya really thinks that what's the problem behind Lotus Go to do?
Well, people might think that Ashkenaz is right.
Well, yes, but we'll get back to that in a minute. I put that tshuva also. My guess is that he thinks it's more about machlokas. Right, and that's why he said, look, they're not going to fight because everybody knows that this is what Sephardim do for hundreds of years, and this is what Ashkenazim do for hundreds of years. Now, if you think it's not Soteric or Shteitoris, that doesn't help you. Right? It only makes matters worse. Right? As if in your one city, in one shul, right, and in shul they can't figure out what Nusach they're davening, they keep switching the sign back and forth, Ashkenaz, Ashkenaz, right? It looks like there's two Toros, and whoever Chazan gets up, right, we switch to his Torah for the day. Right? It looks really bad. It actually looks a lot worse. But I assume that's really what he means. Now, he suggests, though, a justification for this notion. Right? Why would it be that there's no problem of Lotus Go to do of Shtei Bat Edinim Bar Achas, and ipso facto, why is there no problem of the difference between Ashkenaz and Sfarad? So what did I just read? Because Lotus Go to do is fundamentally a problem on who?
Just one authority.
But the authority who started the problem. Because if people later on follow different minhagim, so why are they following different minhagim? Is it because they think that there's multiple Torahs going on, or because there's machlokes? No, they paskin like, basically, said they paskin like the Ramah. Whose responsibility was it to make a unified psak? The poskim. But im kvar, az kvar, they didn't. So it's done. Shei Torahs are done, right? We're not going to fight about it. Whatever happened happened, right? So it could be that the problem with Tzgodu is only at the original moment, is when you have the chance to unify, and you don't, that's a problem. But once it splinters, for people to follow their own postgame, there's no chiyuv to go out of your way and reunify everything. Matthew, you are right, and we'll get to in a minute, that there's a political agenda behind this, as much as there's a halachic agenda behind it. But first questions, yeah.
So isn't this basically an isser against like a Chiddush Torah, in that you can't think of a novel psak?
No, meaning you can suggest a new psak. First of all, not everything is like there's unified psak about, right? Second of all, why not? I mean, I can paskin something, and then people can choose to go with me.
No one would be allowed to follow it.
Well, no, I can bring it up. The phrase we use in psak is zelo. Right, lo lahalachaz, right, siti lahalota davar al shulchan melachim. Right, you paskin something and hope that it'll become the discourse, and then at some point it'll come to consensus, especially new shaylas. It's always, right, that's how it happens. It's not like, right, it takes a good 50 years, 100 years before really new issues become nifsach, because, like, there's a dusiach. And, what?
So it's just a factor of how long then it takes to get implemented, but somebody has to break.
I mean, someone has to break the ice. The question is, and we'll get to it, and I'll throw this out there. I'll regalachas. One of the things you have to understand about psak is that just because something could become legitimate psak in 100 years doesn't mean that it's retroactively justified when the person makes the chiddush, right? Because I may not be allowed to, as we saw early in the Gemara, rely on my own psak. I may be allowed to say it, but if it's going to be a violation of Lotus Go to do, I wouldn't be allowed to rely on it. Later on, a different Bezdin can choose, and another generation can choose, but I wouldn't be allowed to because of the problem of Lotus Go to do. So it doesn't necessarily follow that if something will be justified, it retroactively is justified. For you know, the troublemaker doesn't get retroactively justified just because later on becomes de facto psak, right? He's still, you know, in a slightly more extreme form, Shlomo Zalman, I've heard, was quoted as saying that the first, you know, 50 women who wore pants would go to Gehenna. After that, it'd be mutter, right? Because when it's provocative, it's provocative. Once everyone does it, it's no longer provocative. That doesn't mean the original people weren't provocative. It just means that mimela, it's no longer provocative. But the people who made that shift suffer, right? Because they caused everyone, right? They did something wrong. The fact that it becomes de facto is not, I mean, That doesn't retroactively justify them. They still did provoke. Reuven, then Matthew. Okay.
But that, in terms of the Rishon's out of the way of pants, but that's where there's a problem with Sias, and then unless you...
This is just a mushal. It's a mushal. My point being, let's go do it to some extent, at least actually posting like it is the same thing. It's the provocation, right? Especially if you think it's machlokas, right? If you think it's machlokas, it's clear that's what's going on. There's nothing fundamental.
Then you think that what you're saying is Torah, and what they're doing is not Torah.
Right, so then you're allowed to fight about it, right? You still might not be able to paskin like it. And that's the machlokas ritva Tosfos. Right? Tosfos would think that you'd have to paskin against yourself, bein l'kula bein l'chumra. The ritva would say, look, you can only paskin against yourself l'chumra, but you can't paskin l'kula. Okay, yeah, Yoni.
How would Rashi explain Ashkenazi and Sephardim if he says
it? I mean, he might think it's us, or I don't know. Right? I mean, I have no raya for this. I mean, or he would agree with one of the Svaras, right? Which is, but I don't know. Meaning, there's no, we have no way of knowing what Rashi holds here. Right? Rashi didn't live in that Metzias. I mean, he did, but it wasn't actually a Metzias. Like, he was actually living in Ashkenaz. You know, he wasn't living in America or Israel, and he was Ashkenazi. He was like in Ashkenaz. He was in Tsarfas, but same, whatever. Okay, now maybe we'll skip to it just for a moment. Yes, Ravadia has an agenda behind what he's doing. Because, right, people were at the Yom Iyun. Do you remember when they talked about the Chayim Yerushalayim? Yeah. So Chayim Yerushalayim, Aregel Achas, which is probably, you know, the bane of Ravadia's existence, which was the attempt by the Ashkenazi poskim in the sake of unity to make there be one psak in all of Eretz Israel, i.e. psak Ashkenaz, right? Because all the Ravanim were Ashkenazim. So, if you skip to the next page and look, this is the Tshuva Yabi Omer about the Cherem Yerushalayim. He says, Urei Atzvi Yisrael, Bekuntris Masoel David, Shekasa B'Yeshiva Achas, Shom Moetzes HaRabanut, HaRabanut HaRashit Yisrael, Danu B'Inyan Ashchid, V'Digos B'Yedam V'Chaim B'Eretz Yisrael. V'Yetzion, HaRishon Litzion, Hagon Rav Ben-Zion Uziel, V'Toch Rov Ahavato Al Achdut HaOma, out of his love for the nation. And to remove the divisions between Ashkenaz and Sfarad, levater al Ashkita Sfaradit, to give up on Sfaradi Shkita ulachid at Ashkitot Yerushalayim, and have only one minhag Shkita in Yerushalayim, v'hiskim shegam Sfaradim mikablu alayim minhag Ashkenazim, and accepted that the Sfaradim should follow minhag Ashkenaz. Biram Agon Rav Tzvi Pesach Franken Naged Lekach Betokef. But Tzvi Pesach argued strongly with Amar, Im Hema Rabbanim Yaskim Levitul Shchita Tam, if the Svardi Rabbanim will agree to get rid of their own Shchita, Akum Ani, I, an Ashkenazi, will get up, Va'argen Shchita Svardi Yerushalayim, I will shecht for them. Lefishla Adatenu, Al Kol Eidah Lamshich, Linhog Mesra Avotah, because everyone has to follow their Mesorah, Uvimin Hagim, Amikulam Midori Doros, Kanere, Shigam Minyana Askamashal Isser, Hayibum Svardim, this was the original context, which was, should we aser Yibum to everybody, like the Minhag of the Beis Yosef, or Mater Yibum? Rav Avadia allowed Yibum. Nimshach, Agon Rav Tzion Uziel, Lishita To, Me'avato La'achlina Uman, of love for the nation, Ugdola Ahava, Shemekalkelet Hashura. And love is great, for it distorts logic. Right. And God forbid we should get rid of the Psak of the Beis Yosef because of the dream for unity. And who, right, can forgive basically the kavod of the Beis Yosef? Hashem Hatov Yichaper Ba'ad. And God will forgive us for the disunity. So, yes, Rav Avadia has a reason he's saying this. He doesn't want, basically, there to be one minhag, which is minhag Ashkenaz. Right? He doesn't want, in the sake of unity, to quash minhag Esfar. So now if we return to the other tshuva. So he says, fine, no saf letam anal, yeshlom shizlo tzkodu ein enog, ela bofen shish machlokas bahalacha, zeo sev zemadev, dover shein on lekoch minog, lechayach v'yishlo tzkodu, damrina nara naro pashtei, he passing like Mogen Avram, that there's no problem of lo tzkodu by minhagim anyways, because of nara naro pashtei, which means the rivers have gone their course, v'yishlo tzarif nimo ka, no saf mach goes by gone with Shimon Greenfield, we should matter shag. Shizel is going to know Elvin Misha Mora Lachalachir and Lino Kitzvaraso again, that the only time there's a problem of Well, this is Godu, he thinks, is the original posik. Mor echad posik lasher, mor echad posik lahatir, aval anashim, shosim latzim, kiminagam, ve'ena morim lachirim, lo nemer bazeh, Israel, this is Godu, klal, besikum, mutram and adin, levnei, idunim, izrach, listaper, mena, betzarem, and therefore he thinks that Svardim are allowed to shave during Svira, aval pishalom, de mishiva, sharov, tamidem, vnei, idun, ashkenaz, even if they, if they're going to an Ashkenazi yeshiva, but if they, we come welcome, ratzel, achmar, latzim, legos, listaper, double em, bracha, but if they want to be machmir, fine. If you look at Reb Moshe, in the next tshuva, Achkol Asafik Mishmishu Asinu by America, it's going to be called Lekan. Mikol Aminyon Zgol Kol Achanog Efi Amakom Sheba Misham Lo Nikba Bekan Eza Mina Kavua. The Ein Bezim Lutz is going to be Tam Di Isa B'Shem Kitzur Piskei Arash. The Yevamos The Dabar Atoli B'Minag Amakom Shem Amakom Zenagu Kach Amakom Zenagu Kach. Avin Skazim Bnei Shnei Amakomos Mo Echad V'Asa Kol Echad Kiminag Amakomo Les Lan Ba Ayin Sham. Next line. So again, Israel swore to Asul Kolam, and again, Heter swore to Mudul Kolam. Igalot is Godu. Avam Shemim Kamos. Av Midak Baalma Kehar Shalolicho Mine Kidnos. But better than she swore to again Heter. Shav again Israel Yodin Dela Elu Shein No again who Heter. Gamar Dami Zel Minak Tainis Shamar Shein Bazem Yishlom Dzugal Biban Mishneim Kamos. So he first of all again thinks that it's only a problem by Minak, and even if it's right, and even if you think that. Even by Minog, there's a problem of Lotus. Sorry, he thinks it's only a problem of Isser. But even if you think it's a problem by Minog, it's not by a Minog, which nobody thinks is halacha. Like Kidneyos, and everybody thinks Ashkenazim and Sephardim can do whatever they want. And then, you know, at the end, he has his normal thing that husband and wife have to keep the same Minog. Okay, if you go to the next page, I have a Sridi Aish here. Sridi Aish says, Lefiza Achiv, let's go to Rock with Bez. And Echad, we're going to Lassen, Lassen. Again, he thinks that it's. The Iker Din of Lotus Godu is only on the Rabbanim, but not on the people afterwards who have to follow their Psak. Okay. So, let's just review what we've seen so far. So, we have the Gemara, we have Lotus Godu. We have a question in the Gemara, Minog, not Minog. Presumably, this is based either on a Machlokas about whether there will be Machlokas, if you argue about Minhagim, or it's based on the more fundamental Machlokas Rashi Rambam, which is what's the problem of Lotus Godu? Is it a problem that you're going to cause Machlokas in which it applies possibly even to Minhagim? Or is it that the problem of Yasu Torah Kishtei Toros, which presumably only applies Bedin? Lehalacha, the Rama paskins that it's even by Minhagim, the Magen Avram says Lotus Godu is only by Yisurim, Rav Moshe paskins that way, Rav Avadya paskins that way, and even if they don't, you have the secondary questions, which is Lotus Godu only applies Machlokas Rishonim from the Gemara. Either it doesn't apply if you're in two cities, or even in one city with two Batei Dinim. So Ashkenaz and Sfarad, either we look at it as two Batei Dinim in one city, we think that's not a problem, or we say that it's even sort of like two cities for whatever reason, because everyone is Miusad al Adnei Paz. Then the question is, well, then okay, but how did it ever get there? So basically, many poskim think that, look, Lotus Godu in the end of the day is fundamentally a isser on the poskim. The original people had to come to some consensus. If they didn't, so everyone's entitled to follow their minog, but obviously that original generation had to bring about unity. If they didn't, that's a different story, but that is clearly a bidyevet moment. I put here at the end the Tshuva Reb Moshe, who just says the obvious, that even if you accept that different people are allowed to wear, for example, wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed or not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, if you're the Chazan, you have to do what the Shul does, because that already is in your face, or that really, you do have to follow the local minhag. Yeah?
Going back to the beginning of this year, some months ago, so we talked about the nature of the Torah and the nature of Pesachism, are there actually multiple possibilities that are all legitimate and possible at the same time, or is it really one or the other, we're just not sure which? If you would say the former, then what becomes a problem of Shulayasu Torah Kishtei Toros? That if you really think that both opinions are concurrently legitimate, then what's the problem of saying you say this way and I say this way, you follow your basis and I base it?
Right, so the philosophical problem, presumably, and this is, you know, again, this is what I said to Meir, is that part of the whole question is what you believe about the Torah. meaning barring Sanhedrin HaGadol Yishuv Yerushalayim, which, again, even there, we might just think it's there's a value in unity, but not that there's one Torah. You're right, meaning at a philosophical level, there might not be anything that offends me about saying that there could be different possibilities and people could not follow different possibilities. That doesn't change the fact that, right, we want, like the Torah, even if you think there are different possibilities, right, you do want, let's say, the halakhic community to have one Torah. Right? You don't want it to be that the Jewish community follows different Torahs. Right? Even if they're all possible, right, you want to be following the same Torah.
Why?
So that's a good question. Why? Presumably it's because we value the community in that sense. Right? That Torah is not meant to exist in theory. It's supposed to be...
Machlokas?
What?
Is that the same as Machlokas?
No. Meaning that Torah is supposed to be manifest in history through the people... Right, so, you know, it's the same way that, was Beis Shammai theoretically legit in his time? Yes, but if someone decided tomorrow he's going to paskin like Beis Shammai across the board, right, that's not how Torah developed. And now you are, it could have been a possibility, but uvda, once Torah developed this way, for you to take a different way, means that you think that, right, the, I don't know, Catholic Israel, right, made a mistake in its decisions throughout the generations, and you're going a different way, or that you're just splitting yourself off from the nation who manifests Torah through their actions, or something like that. But you're right. If you have a very expensive Elu Ve'elu, it's very hard, and you even see it, right? Rav Ovadia is using the Lashon of Elu Ve'elu. And especially when we talk about Ir Achas, or state Ayaros in one place, that's part of what we're getting at, right? Is that, you know, every individual group has to make a decision, but you could just define yourself as different groups. Okay. So that's like the basic halacha. And like, look, again, it's slightly problematic here. Most poskim have really gone in the direction that it's fundamentally more about, or at least the way we practice it, we aren't machmir on let's go min hagim, for better or for worse, because that's how Ashkenaz and Sfarad have developed. That being the case, right, they still are sensitive to the fact that it does affect how we poskim and how we act. Okay. Yeah, Ruben.
When you are making psak, how strong of a consideration is let's go to do? Is it something that's...
Well, again, that's
it. Or is it like a trump card?
Well, again, I think that's part of the Machlokes Ritva and Tosfos. According to Tosfos, it's a trump card because it even allows you to be Mekil. According to Ritva, it seems like it's just a factor because it can allow you to be Machmir, right, in favor of preventing Agudot Agudot. I can be Machmir, but I couldn't be Mekil. Or in the end of the day, it won't override. So I think that's part of the issue, is that Tosfos really does think it's a trump card. Is that once you define something as Agudot Agudot, you have to follow whatever is the mainstream, and you can't start another one under any circumstances. According to the Ritva, it's a heavy factor, but it's not going to be a trump card, because in the end of the day, you can't do something which you think is wrong. Right? According to Tosfos, you can. Right? If something's within the realm of possibility, even if you don't believe it, you can follow it, or you might have to follow it. Right? It now gives, you know, memories of what's it called? Of Zaken Mamre, but we're not going to get into that because it's too complicated.
Also, does this apply for every single halachic issue, or is it like just the creating different agudos? Say, if you have like two different communities, like you say, like Northern Orthodox community or Sephardic community, that's more.
Hold that thought. Okay, so this is basically the halacha trufa. Okay, is that there's machlokas in the Gemara about minhag, not minhag. Machlokas Rama Magen Avram. Most poskim go in the direction of being mekil on minhag. Definitely in the case of Ashkenaz Sfarad. Whether or not you hold, you know, whether you come up with the Ir Achas Shtei Ayaros, however you want to come about it, right? Poskim are makel de facto, because what are they going to do? Argue, like, it's not going to happen. That's the de facto reality. It's clearly a factor in psak. It's not the only factor in psak. And if you really think you're right, then you're allowed to say your psak. It's a good question. Are you allowed to act on your psak or not? And especially if you think the Lotus Godu is fundamentally a problem for poskim. So, for most of us, it's not such a big deal, because it's legitimate for us to follow them and hug him, but that doesn't change the fact that at a level of poskim, it was their responsibility, maybe they were derelict in it, to try to come up with some unity. If they didn't, they didn't, but that would be the ideal. Okay, but that's basically the Halakha Tzrufa summary. What I put here in my article from a few years ago is, here I want to go a little bit beyond the Halakha Tzrufa, and I want to flesh out some of the implications that Reuven is getting onto. Okay? So let's think about it for a minute. And I want to now take a step back and think about it in a different sense. Okay? I put the whole article, you can read it. Let me take a quote here from Reb Lichtenstein. Let's say that, again, Matthew. Matthew and I have different minhagim, right? Take your pick on what this might be, right? I don't care. Okay. So, I choose not to beat Matthew up for having a for doing something different than me. I choose out of the graciousness of my heart not to beat him up. Okay? So, thank you. I know, I'm so nice. So, there are two attitudes that I can have that would prevent me from beating up Matthew. Or, assuming that the natural response to disagreeing would be beating him up. Which, let's just assume that for a moment. I don't agree, but Rover the World seems to think this is a good idea. Right. So, there are two attitudes that I can think of, or two English words. One is a word I would call tolerance. The other one is a word called pluralism. So Reb Luchenstein, in a very sharp point, here. It's a third column in the article. He writes like this. Toleration is not to be equated with pluralism. Indeed, in a sense, it is its very antithesis. Full-blown religious pluralism acknowledges the radical legitimacy of conflicting faith commitments. As such, it need not, it cannot, tolerate them. To tolerate is to suffer the pressure of what is not only different, but my light's thoroughly erroneous, and to refrain nonetheless from the exercise of power to coerce its devotees to cease and desist. So, what's the difference between tolerance and pluralism at a fundamental level? Pluralism, I can deal with Matthew because I think he's also right. So why would I fight with Matthew if we're both right? Tolerance says, I recognize your right to be wrong, right? And I can deal with that. I can be nice. We can agree to disagree. So that's the philosophical background, right? At some level, tolerance and pluralism are opposites. Because if I'm really pluralistic, I don't need tolerance. Right? Tolerance assumes that something you do I disagree with at a fundamental level. I think it's wrong, and yet I don't, right? I am calm and nice to you despite that fact. If I'm really, really pluralistic, there's no reason for me to be tolerant. I don't need to be tolerant. I don't need to tolerate people who do things that I think are correct. Translating back to Lotus Godudu, right? There are two values. Now, whether they're what drive Lotus Godudu or not, right? There are two things going on in Lotus Godudu, right? One is, right? Shall Yirbu Machlokas be Israel, which means that what is the value that Lotus Godudu is pushing for?
Tolerance.
Meaning, people can disagree. People, as long as it won't cause fighting. And then the Gemara tries to figure out, okay, you won't fight if you each have your authority, or if you're in different cities, or it's only about minhag. Right? We push tolerance. Lo yazeh Torah kishei Toros is pushing against what value? Pluralism. Meaning, so yazeh Torah kishei Toros is that you shouldn't bring the Torah to the point where we recognize, we'll use Rev Aaron's words, right? Radical pluralism. We'll try to sidestep for a moment the question that you raised before, which is, well, the Maisa, if you think Eilu, we do think at some level that there's a pluralism in Torah, but we don't believe in a radical pluralism, right? Or we don't believe in a theoretical pluralist, a legal pluralism, but not in a practical legal pluralism or something like that. But meaning we believe that in the end of the day, halacha should follow one way. It could be either way, but it has to follow one. We don't believe that two traditions can simultaneously be what should be done, right? I'll put it in a very, very vague, purposely vague way. Okay? So Lotus Godudu, at some level, right, if you think about the two values, clearly encourages tolerance, but especially if you think like Rashi, Shlo Yaseh Torah Kishtei Toros, discourages a certain sense of pluralism. Because faith commitments, by definition, are not entirely pluralistic. That's a contradiction in terms. So you believe in something. On the level of faith, this is for sure true. Now, if that's the case, so, and this was the context of when I originally had this. Let's say, right, for a moment, that, well, we'll come back to Ruvain's comment, okay? When a modern Orthodox posek says something, does he care what, I don't know, take your Haredi posek, I don't know. Did he care last year what Reb Eliashiv would say about what he said? No. Is that true? Like, he didn't care.
To some degree.
Meaning, I don't mean he's going to say, like, oh, Reb Eliashiv argued with me, I'm not going to listen. Like, I'm going to automatically listen, I'm going to be mevatel dati etzel dato, but he cares. Or, b'milim acherot, the modern Orthodox community, for better or for worse, is looking over its shoulder at the Haredi community. We may paskin differently, but we're looking over our shoulder because we don't want to get to the point where they're going to, right, we don't totally ignore them. We recognize that there's Torah in their community, and we don't want to get to the point where they don't recognize us as part of their community. Right? The Haredi community, no, really does look over its shoulder. Now, I'm not going to say that Yerbal Yashiv is looking over his shoulder or Shechler, but it's fair to say that, you know, Reb David Feinstein or, you know, near the post-commandary Israel are looking over their shoulder. They might not care, but they're aware, right? And they know that there's Torah, and they know that Rav Shechter can argue with them, and they're going to be a little bit careful, also because they don't want to be caught on something which, you know, was patently wrong or something like that, or, right? Meaning, at some level at the borders, we're looking over each other's shoulder, which means what? That what is the implicit recognition philosophically? By the fact that, uvda, we look over our shoulders at poskim in the broader community, that there is a broader community, right? I mean, the, very simply, the philosophical claim there, or the assumption is that, okay, so the Haredim do their thing, and we do our thing, but we're really on one retzef, and like, the Aguda might claim they don't care what the RCA does, and the RCA might claim they don't care what the Aguda does, but they really, really do. Or they don't care to the point where they're going to be mevatel daitam, but they recognize that they're in one community. In other words, right, they're not willing to say at a fundamental, deep level that it's fine for Haredim to take one Torah and for modern Orthodox people to take another Torah. Because no one really, really believes that the Torah is shtei Toros. We might strongly disagree, and we might agree to disagree, or we might disagree to disagree. Right? But we all fundamentally believe that we are, or should be, part of one larger community. Let's say I would get up tomorrow and say, look, I couldn't care less what Rabbi Yashiv says. I'm never going to read it. The only books I'm going to read are the books by Poskim in my community. So what have I just done? What have I asserted, at least in practice, a radical pluralism, meaning a radical shtei Toros, meaning it's not just that I have my Poskim, they have their Poskim. It's, I don't care what they say. They're not me at all. Right? So, a few years ago, right, a certain person, and you can look at the article, I won't have it on the recording, but you can look at the article, wrote a post claiming that how is modern orthodoxy going to move forward? Right? The Haredi and modern Orthodox communities are already at odds on so many issues, and a formal split between the movements may be inevitable, and this may not be a bad thing. Right, next paragraph. But imagine how liberating it would be if some of our modern Orthodox leaders were not fearful of the reaction of the right. Imagine if our leaders were able to embrace and teach modern Orthodox ideals based on equality and spiritual growth, all while grounded in deep understanding of halacha. The Haredi and modern Orthodox Jews can acknowledge our difference without trying to save the other from falling into abyss of secularism or fanaticism. Those who ascribe to separatism will ride their buses with men in front, women in the back, without having to defend their ideals. And those who embrace modernity while remaining grounded in halacha will celebrate equality and continue to ride their own bus without looking over their right shoulders. So a certain member on the left world made the claim very strongly that what should we do so we can move forward? We should formally split. Because if you come back to Lotus Godu, whatever Lotus Godu means, what does it clearly mean? That you shouldn't get to the point where another part of the community is actually not on your radar to the point where it doesn't matter what they paskin. But someone claimed, well, very simply, look, if I want to do whatever I want to do, so the best way of doing that is to say, look, modern Orthodox Jews are one type of Jews, and Haredi Jews are another type of Jews, and if we just recognize that, then we can do whatever the heck we want. The problem is that that's exactly what Lotus Godu tells you you're not allowed to do. Is that poskim, at least, meaning when you're making the decision, you have to take into account what other people are saying. You don't have to agree with them, but you have to take into account. Yeah.
But one can just say, it's not there are two Torahs, it's one Torah, and that's not Torah.
Ah, you could.
It's not that I'm suggesting that one should do that.
No, you could, right? But that's not the claim here. right? Meaning that would in that what would that tell you? That you have to remain part of the community because you agree that they have value and you just think they're getting it wrong. They have desires, so we should fight with them to get it right. Right? The second you're saying, no, forget it, you'll do whatever you want, and that's fine, because you're you, and I'm me, and our Judaisms are different. What are you doing? You're making the claim strongly that my Judaism is not your Judaism at a fundamental level. That is Lazos Torekish de Doros, actively. So I made the claim a few years ago that, look, forget it for a moment, that technical halachic question, so we can get around the technical halachic questions, Yirachash de Yaros, whatever you want. To say, to encourage schism for the sake of being free to paskin whoever the heck you want and for not having to look over your right shoulder is clearly a violation of the values behind Lotus Godedu. Because the whole point of Lotus Godedu, right, especially if you think Lo Yasa Torah Kishtei Toros, is that you're not supposed to make the claim and you're not supposed to do something that makes it, that accepts the eventuality that there are actually two types of halachic Jews, that halacha is not, right, your halacha is not their halacha. Now, even Ashkenaz and Svar don't believe this. Right, Ashkenaz and Svar, they do take each other into an account. Haraya, look how many Chivas Rav Avadia is fighting the Ashkenazim. They do think they're part of the same halachic community. Right, there's even a Havamina that sometimes they might actually unite, or a Havamina that they should unite. We don't have that Havamina, for example, with Reformed Jews, because we really don't think what they're doing is Torah, right? They think halacha isn't binding, we think it is. We're not talking the same language anymore. So, one of the things I think that's worth keeping in mind about Lotus Go to do beyond the technical halacha is that I don't want to get into the political discussion of who's right, who's wrong. I don't care. But the fact is that at the moment, there are calls, and this is undeniable, it's facts on the ground, there are calls for schism left, right, and center. Right? Well, yes, left, right, and center. Yes, there we go. There are... one of the things you have to realize is that there's a problem with calling for schism, because calling for schism means that you claim that the other person is not part of your halachic community anymore. Now, the second thing I noted, without, again, weighing in too much, though this might weigh in just a little bit, one of the things you should also notice, and what should become clear from the sugya, is that, let's say something is a legitimate kula. A legitimate kula. But it's not obviously right. Right? It could be right, it could be wrong. I mean, it could be mutter, it could be usser. There's strong ground to be makil. But if you are makil, it's going to cause machlokes, or it's going to cause a schism. Right? It's going to be yasa teresh kedei teres, or it's going to be machlokes. Right? So what's clear in the halacha? You can't be makil, right? There's a machlokes about chumrah, right? Rich Ventosos. But lekula less man depalig, that if it's going to cause agudot agudot, you are not allowed to be makil even on something which is a legitimate kula. So even if we're not talking formal of tiskodadu, it's something to think about. That one of the very real factors you should think about in halacha when people are suggesting new kulos is that it's not just a question of whether it can formally be justified. Is if your kula is going to lead to agudot agudot, are you violating something much more fundamental, the halachic system? Yeah, Matthew.
Wasn't that Shitas Tosos? That you can be
makil? I mean, Shitas Tosos is you can even be makil, but meaning, I should clarify. Most of the questions that come up in our community these days are whether we can come up with a legitimate kula against the current consensus l'chumra. That, less mandapalig, you're not allowed to do.
Because?
Right, meaning Ritva and Tosos think, Ritva thinks that even if it violates Lotus go to do, you're allowed to be machmer against the consensus. Tosos thinks that if it's against the consensus, if it's the consensus, you're allowed to be mekel and you're not allowed to be machmer, because that'll cause machlokes. No one says that if the consensus is l'chumra, that you're allowed to break off and be mekel. That everyone agrees is usser. So, here I'll leave you. Right, and you can read the article for the rest. I think that beyond the halachic question, one of the things to just think about, as please God the community will not schism, right, but one of the things that I think is not talked about enough is that a real fundamental problem we're talking about is either the technical violation or at least the spirit of the law of Lotus Godedu, where at some point you have to just think, is it worth taking on a certain kula or a certain chumrah, right? But that's not usually the case. But a certain kula... sometimes it is the case, but most of the machlokas are not about this, if it's going to cause either machlokas, or worse, it's going to cause a schism, which is basically going to force one community to say, I'm not them. Parallel to what happened with the Sukkim and Prushim, or more recently conservative Reform Orthodox, where really we just don't recognize we have the same Torah, which is, you know, a very, very bad situation to be in. One last issue to say before we run to Mincha, is if you look at the Chinuch raises one of the fundamental problems with Lotus Gozudu, is that it's very nice to talk about Lotus Gozudu, but the Chinuch says, I have a Mesorah from my Rebbeim, but Lotus Gozudu doesn't apply if you're right, right? If you're smarter than the other side. Part of the problem with Lotus Gozudu always is that it's very hard first to convince someone else they're violating Lotus Gozudu, because they'll always say, look, this is not a case of Lotus Gozudu, because we're right, you're wrong, this is not subject to dispute, right? Which means that in Lotus Gozudu and these types of issues, the only thing that's going to keep us from violating either the letter or the spirit of the law is a little bit of integrity, because we have to turn to ourselves and say, are we doing something wrong? Because, you know, someone else turning to us, we can always just say, look, we're right, so at the end of the day, Lotus Gozudu doesn't apply. So we really have to judge ourselves. You know, v'od chazon lamoed.